This book is all about how to help recover piety in the house.
Pastor Will Wheaton, talking about his new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety.
What do you do when people have confused a legalistic pietism for any form of Christian piety? And by piety, I just mean godly habits.
Learn more about Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey at issuesetc.org.
The trouble with the classicist, he looks at a tree. That's all he sees, he paints a tree. The trouble with the classicist, he looks at the sky. He doesn't ask why, he just paints a sky.
You've probably heard your kids say this from time to time, whether your kids are grown or little. When they come home, maybe even you beam with some happiness when you hear them say it. I like my teacher. That's what they say. I like my teacher. And you want to hear that. You want to know that your child is fond of the person they spend so much time with in the classroom. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but does that mean the teacher's doing a good job? Is this a result of maybe a long trend of psychologizing education, where instead of seeing teachers as stand-ins for parents who are stand-ins for God, we view them as friends, or at least potential friends? Welcome back. It's part two of our series on progressive education versus classical education. Today we're going to be talking about the vocation of teacher. Dr. Thomas Korchak joins us. He's assistant professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago. And he's author of the book, Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. He's going to be speaking at an open house at noon on Sunday, January the 28th, at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. His presentation is titled, Forward to the Past, How a Classical Education Truly Prepares a Child for the Future. Dr. Korchak, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back, Todd.
There are these websites, the most popular one among college students, Rate My Professor. I understand there's even a Rate My Teacher for under college education. Are these indicative of how people value their teachers and their professors? It looks to me, in a lot of cases, like a popularity contest.
Right. One of the things that professors dread is when a student brings up Rate My Professor. Because what you have is a website where usually the students that failed go on and they rate the professor. Most professors, and I don't think any teachers, take those sites seriously. But I think it is indicative of how we've become to assess teachers in today's educational system. It becomes a popularity contest, or at least we assess them just by whether we like them or whether we get along with them or whether they're nice. I think one of the unfortunate things is, and I encountered this when we had our school, when we had a Lutheran school, and I'd talk to parents, and the parents would usually be talking about the teachers in the government-run schools or public schools, and they would always say, "But my kid's teacher is so nice. They're so nice." As though that were the only criteria by which a teacher could be measured. And I often feel sorry for teachers. They spend years of education. They go to university and teachers college. They work hard to prepare lessons. And then the only thing they're rated by is how nice they are. You can imagine how frustrating that is for a teacher. But you can't fault the parents too much because they don't have any other tools to assess them by. They've never been taught, well, this is how you can measure what makes for a good teacher or what makes for a poor teacher.
Historically, how were teachers in particular and the role of the teacher in general, how were those evaluated?
Well, I kind of caution this because historically, I think parents have always kind of done the same thing. Parents have always liked nice teachers and hard teachers get the short shrift. But generally, I think teachers were measured on a different standard. First of all, they were measured on what they knew. Did they understand the basic material that they were going to be required to teach? Were they able to apply, take from literature and history and science and whatever learning was out there and bring it into a classroom. Because you think if a teacher doesn't have anything to teach, what are they going to teach? If they don't know anything, they have nothing to teach the students. Another criteria, and this is probably one of the most important criteria in Lutheran schools for sure, but in other schools as well. And you have to remember that prior to the mid-1800s, almost every school was run by a church. So one of the chief questions there was, what was their confession? What did they teach, believe, and confess? And this is more fundamental than we often think, because if a person's confession will really shape what they teach, how they teach, and how they treat the children that has been given to them.
What about their ability simply to communicate the information in a way that the children could, for lack of a better term, consume it or receive it?
Right, and that was always the third criteria then, is how could they teach the information, or could they teach the information? When you go back in history and start reading, you'll find headmasters and head teachers complaining about this or that teacher who they were bright, but they couldn't relate to the children in the classroom, or they couldn't teach the material. So that was always a concern, that teachers were apt to teach, that they could convey the information in a way that would be received by children. Augustine, way, way back, stressed the need for teachers to present education in such a way that would be pleasing to a child. Now, when he talked about pleasing, he didn't mean that they would be amused or it would be silly, but rather that they would be led to an understanding about how pleasurable the task of education, of learning, could be.
So, contrasting that, when did the move toward what we have today, which is, hey, the teacher's a nice person, or I like them, or my kid seems to like them, where did we get from what we've just described here to where we are today? How did that happen?
Well, if you have an educational system and an approach to education that starts downplaying the importance of knowledge, downplaying the importance of information, of content, of confession, and a person's personal beliefs, something has to replace that. Now I need a new standard of measuring teachers. And what replaces the content, what replaces the confession, is now a psychological approach to education. So what becomes more important is that a child is well-adjusted psychologically, that they can fit in, that they are comfortable with themselves. And if you start approaching education as though those are the most important things, then how am I to measure the standard, or how am I to measure the teacher that is teaching my children? Well, it can't be how much do they know or what's their confession, but rather, are they nice? Are they making my child happy? Do they seem well-adjusted? All which are valid, but they shouldn't be the only things or the first things by which we measure a good teacher.
I wonder, well, we'll get to it on the other side of the break. I wonder if there's a parallel with how we've shifted how we measure the family as well. We'll talk about that with Dr. Thomas Korchok right after this.
In just a few short years, digital technology has revolutionized the way we live, work, and interact. But what does this mean for the church? In its January issue, the Lutheran Witness magazine looks at digital technology through Lutheran eyes, examining social media, online evangelism, podcasting, and the spiritual implications of these technological innovations for Christians. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Confessional, liturgical, sacramental. Lutheran Church of the Redeemer is located in Columbus, Georgia, right next to Fort Benning, Georgia, off of Exit 7 on I-185. Come receive our Lord Jesus' gifts of forgiveness and grace every Sunday in the Divine Service. For more information, visit our website, RedeemerColumbusGA.org.
When Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
When your family gathered around Die Hard this Christmas, did all the Plutarch make you feel like benighted schlubs? Maybe you need a classical education. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois is offering a free primer on the what's, why's, and how's of classical education on Sunday, January 28th. The Reverend Dr. Thomas Korchak of Concordia University, Chicago, will preach for divine services at 7:45 and 10 and speak at noon on how classical education truly prepares children for the future. Lunch and a school open house are included. Join Dr. Korchak at St. Paul Hamel, Greater St. Louis's only classical Lutheran school, to learn about
benefits of a classical education.
Find us at stpaulhamel.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the vocation of teacher in part two of our series on progressive versus classical Lutheran education with Dr. Thomas Korchak of Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Korchak, I'm wondering if there's a parallel here between, you're talking about the shifting measure of what makes for a successful classroom being whether or not the students are happy. I wonder if it's a parallel to how we've shifted the measure for the family as well, that the family is measured by whether or not everyone is happy, a rather transient measurement rather than something a little more with a little more staying power. What do you think?
I think I'd have to agree with you on that. One of the kind of the sad movements in our society is there's a loss of understanding of what it is to be a parent. In today's society, what is a parent? Are they a child's coach? Are they their advisor? Are they their best friend? Are they just someone to provide for the child's every whim? It's really quite a tragic loss of understanding of the office of parent as something that comes from God. I wouldn't be surprised. We talked about ratemyprofessors.com and ratemyteachers.com. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a ratemyparents.com site out there somewhere where we can rate parents on whether children are truly happy or not. But that's not the way parents should be evaluated, especially not Christian parents.
What does this lead to? If a teacher knows, or if a, in the case of a college education, a professor knows that part of the way they're being evaluated by the parents, if not by the children, is on whether or not everybody's happy in the classroom or whether or not they are likable or affable enough. How does that change what the teacher thinks they're supposed to be doing?
Well, on one hand, it makes it incredibly difficult for the teacher. And I really do feel for especially teachers working in a public setting, because the pressures on them to keep children happy, and not just children happy, but parents happy, and not just parents happy, but administrators happy, is enormous. And I feel for teachers, because I don't think they're given the respect that their profession deserves, that of being someone who is a professional educator, whose profession is teaching children. It would be more useful to go back to a Christian understanding of the role of teacher. And the role of teacher really grows out of the fourth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother. So when we look at the fourth commandment, we realize that all authorities are representatives of God. They stand in for God. Well, if they stand in for God, that means that they're charged with doing God's work, insofar as that they are commanded to raise these children in the place and instead of Christ himself.
Well, before we go deeper into that, that really sparks a question here, and that is, if the role of teacher may have, the way we evaluate the role of teacher may have paralleled the way we evaluate the role of parent and family, did that go parallel with the way we evaluate the role of God? If God is essentially here to keep me happy or help me self-actualize or something, then it would follow that his representatives have the same task.
Well, I think you just hit on something that I've never really made a connection there. And I think that's really worth exploring, because we've taken an approach to God that's a psychological approach. God is there to keep me happy. God is there to satisfy my desires. If I'm stressed, God is there to take away my stress. If I'm worried, God is there to take away all my worries. And I think Christians realize that there's a lot of times they're under stress or they're under worries and they pray, but the stress is still there and the worries are still there. It's part of the struggle of life under the cross. That's what we all deal with. But that psychological approach to religion is connected with a psychological approach to parenting, which is connected to a psychological approach to teaching. Now, of course, we want children to be well-adjusted. What parent doesn't want that? But is that the primary role of the teacher? I would argue not.
There's also a role of discipline that goes along with that fourth commandment issue. Inherent in the Christian view of that commandment is this notion, our parents discipline us for our good. That's the words of the apostle, and he ties it back to God's discipline of us as well. So there's that connection again. Has that been lost in the classroom?
I think it's been lost in the classroom as much as it's been lost in the family as well. And that shouldn't be surprising, because if the teacher stands in for the parent doing that which the parent is unable to do, according to the fourth commandment, they represent the parent who represents God, all three are connected and all three are going to suffer some of the same problems, such as a loss of discipline. Parents and teachers are, Christian teachers at least, are to teach the law of God. And the law of God shows us where we've sinned, where we've fallen short of what's expected of us. Part of education is teaching about vocation, serving our neighbor. And it's in serving our neighbor that we realize where we sin, where we err, whether that neighbor is a child that I have as a parent, or whether it's a teacher that I have as a student. That's where we realize that we're failing in our vocation. And that's where the discipline comes in. It's to teach us the nature of the law, that the law actually has consequences. But that's not an end to itself, because the purpose of the law is to drive us back to the gospel, to drive us back to Christ, and to see the forgiveness that we have under Christ.
And to extend that, Dr. Korchak, it is then in that freedom that is beget only of the gospel, that the teacher can say, now we are together free to explore God's world in all of its varied facets, which is just a way of talking about engaging in education.
Oh, for sure, yes. There are two parts of education. There's the teaching of the word so that a child may look to God in faith, and there's also preparing a child for service to neighbor, giving them the tools by which they can serve their neighbor. In the first part, it involves giving them the tools by which they can confess their sin and receive forgiveness, giving them the tools by which they can defend against the enemy and against evil, and helping them to stand against the forces of darkness. And that's the world that our children are growing up in. It's always been evil. It's always been wicked. But never more as today have Christians had to be so countercultural and be able to say, we're not going to participate in this. We're not going to be a part of this. And that's why, getting back to what we were talking about earlier, the teacher's confession, personal confession of faith, becomes so important.
Maybe to put it this way, Dr. Korchak, that the truth, capital T, that is given to us in Scripture, in the Word of God, goes hand in hand with the truth, small t, which is this world around us and all the truths that are going to be revealed to us in God's creation, the course of man's history, all of those things, that these two things actually belong together. It sounds like that's what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Augustine was famous for saying that wherever truth is found, let the reader know it comes from his master. Let the Christian know that it comes from Christ. There is only one truth. There is the saving truth which Christ reveals in his word, and there is truth that is revealed to man in general through some of the great writers. And as a Christian understands that other truth, secular truth, if I could use that term, though it's not really secular because it comes from Christ, as we understand the truth that is out there in the world around us, we better understand the truth that's revealed to us in Christ. So it's not that if I just know the Bible or if I just know about what Scripture says, I can't be saved. Obviously not. We're saved through Christ alone. But understanding the truth that has been revealed outside of Scripture, because it comes from Christ, also helps me understand the truth that's revealed in Scripture so much the better. This is why, historically in the church, the classical writers, the Greek and the Roman writers, were always commended for a reading, because it was understood that these people helped illuminate the truth that's revealed in Christ.
Dr. Thomas Korchak is assistant professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago, author of the book Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. He's going to be speaking at an open house at noon on Sunday, January the 28th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hemmel, Illinois, making a presentation titled Forward to the Past, How a Classical Education Truly Prepares a Child for the Future. Next time, we'll discuss socialization as the new goal of education with Dr. Thomas Korchak in our series on progressive versus classical Lutheran education. Dr. Korchak, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You can learn more about Dr. Korchak's preaching and teaching this Sunday at St. Paul Lutheran School and Church in Hemmel, Illinois at school.stpaulhemmel.org. That's school.stpaulhemmel.org, or call 618-633-2202. When we come back, it's Pastor Tom Baker, and he's going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Paul's first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13 and 14. The prosperity gospel, godliness, Islam, abortion, religious truth claims, scientism, the centrality of justification. You can meet and hear some of your favorite guests teach on these topics at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.